Begin the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Lamed Vav. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing a brisa that was mentioned on the bottom of Amud Beis of the previous daf, which was discussing the topic of the beginning of our parak, discussing the Mishnah of Eilonairis that have a knas. So the brisa spoke about certain women that do not get a knas, and that is if a man forcibly violates them for bia or seduces. There's a knas in the Torah called Enisimafata. These women do not get that knas. So on that, the Gemara quotes from the Brisa. The Brisa said, Hamama Enes, a woman that was rabbinically engaged to a man as a minor, and that is if she's an orphan, her mother or brothers can marry her off. She, as a minor, could then refuse that marriage. So such a woman, after she refused that marriage, ain lo le knas le pitur. If let's say a man forcibly violates her or seduces her, does not have to pay the knas. And the reason is because we presume that she's not a basul anymore. The whole knas of an oinus mafata, if a woman is forcibly violated or seduced, only applies if she's a basula, which means to say that he took away her virginity. Now, that doesn't apply if she's a ma'anis, because she was married at age 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is. And now when a man violates her, there's not going to be a knas. Now, on that, the Gemara makes an inference. But ha'ketana bi'alma islam, but it sounds like, because the whole halacha of ma'anis applies only up until she becomes an adult. Once she becomes an adult and she maintains that marriage, she can't refuse the marriage anymore. It's only when she's a minor under the age of 12. So if she's a minor and she refuses, then such a woman who, at least she was married, now although she undid it halachically, but she's not a basul anymore, at least we don't presume that to be, therefore she doesn't get the knas. But the inference is, but a regular katana, a regular girl, a nine-year-old girl, that she would get a knas if a man violated her mani, so who's the tana of this brisa? Must be Rabban, he must be the Rabban who Aga and Ramey in the beginning of our parak. Damri, that they say katana yesh la knas. They argue on the halacha of our Mishnah, which qualified it only as a naira, and they say that no, a katana from age 3 and up, all the way through till she becomes a begaris, is also included in the parasha of knas. And therefore, it's only if she's in a ma'anis, where she was married on some level at some point, meaning that a man was ba'il her, so we presume she's not a basula, but a regular katana, who we presume to be a basula, she would get the knas, because the chacham hold that a katana gets a knas. But on that, the Gemara asks, Ema Seif, but look at the end of the Brisa. The Brisa said, another woman that doesn't get the knas is an islandess, which is a woman that didn't physically, never fully physically mature, she can't have children. So on that, the Brisa said, "Ilanus ein lo knas v'le piter." An ilanus, if a man violates her, doesn't get a knas, or if she was seduced, does not get that money either. Now, asal Remeir, that comes according to Remeir, and the reason is the Amar, because Remeir says, "Ketana ein lo knas." Remeir is of the opinion that a ketana, a minor under the age of 12, or let's say begaris, that from 12 and a half and older, they don't get a knas. It has to be only a naira. Now, therefore, an ilanus can never get a knas. Because of ha mikatnus yatzla beggar, what happens is that an islandess up until age 20, since she never fully matures, she doesn't have the signs of puberty. Up until age twenty, we give her the halacha as a child, as a katana. After 20, she then goes straight to being an adult. She doesn't have this middle stage of nairus. Now, therefore, the halacha of islandess not having a knas would only make sense according to a mayor, where according to a mayor, she's never going to be a naira. And that's essential according to a mayor, because the only woman that gets a knas according to a mayor is a naira. According to Rabbanan, why would an islandess get a knas? Yes, so she's a katana, but the chacham hold the katana gets a knas. So it comes that the halacha of an islandess not getting a knas or pitoy is like a mayor. So Reish Rabbanan of a savior, a mayor, comes out that in the same brace itself, you have two conflicting opinions. The Reish is like Rabbanan, who that a katana ba'alma would get a knas. It's only a ma'anis that doesn't, because we presume she's not a basul anymore. Yet the sefer that says an ilanus doesn't get a knas only comes out according to a mayor who says that it has to be a naira and not a katana, and therefore an ilanus who is never a naira but a katana never gets a knas. So the Gemara says, now vechite mekuli remeir, and if you're going to say the entire brisa is really like remeir, now how's it like remeir? The difficulty is that if it's like remeir, so why is it that it sounds like only a ma'anis that's a katana doesn't get a knas, but a katana ba'alma would get a knas? That's not true. Because we could say ubimemeenes savolo kribihuda, we could say that regards to the halacha of a miyun, up until when can a woman that was engaged in a rabbinic marriage can refuse it? On that, Remeir holds like kribihuda that Rabbihuda says actually a nara could be memeenes, meaning not like the way we had assumed up until now, according to the other opinions, that she could only refuse it up until she becomes a good a naira at age 12, actually, up until she becomes a begeres, she could refuse. So therefore, at the stage of nairis, and let's say at 12 and a quarter, she could still do miyun. Now, it comes out that on that is what the inference you would make in the braisa would be, that a naira that's mime enes doesn't get a knas. Because although that she's a naira, and a naira gets a knas, but since she was married, and with this rabbinic marriage, they were having bia, and therefore she's not a basul anymore. But the dig would be, oh yes, but a regular naira would get a knas. That works according to Reb Meir. And therefore, we would say that the whole braisa could be like Reb Meir. And the dig is not, but a ketana, but alma has a knas. No. This, I was saying that a me'enes doesn't, this to a me'enes that's a naira. Because like Rabbi Huda, who holds that a naira could do mi'en. But you're right, a one that wasn't, that didn't have this rabbinic marriage to do mi'en, a regular naira, would get a knas. But another Gemara says that's difficult to say. Because a misavala, does Reb Meir hold like Rabbi Huda that a girl that was rabbinically engaged could do mi'en even when she's a naira? But for time to learn, the braisa, clearly not like that. The braisa says, up until what age could a daughter, could a woman do mean? So on that, Acha Tovish de Cyrus de Reb Meir. Meir says, it's only up until when she brings two pubic hairs, meaning when she becomes 12, when she becomes a naira, but once she brings those two Cyrus, she can't do mean anymore, even as Rashi explains that there wasn't Bia afterwards, which would anyways make it a biblical marriage. After that, she becomes the age that's fit for her to do her own kedushin with a man. But even besides that, he says, once she reaches age 12, she can't do mean anymore. Now, Rabbi Hudaimer, he says that if there was no bia in this marriage that they have, which was only rabbinic up until now, so when she becomes an adult now, she's over age 12, she has the two sires, that if she didn't do mean, if she didn't have bia yet with him, then she could do mean at sheyir b'shachar al alavan, until you have more black over there than white, which the Gemara Masechet Nisanim explains, meaning if you have two hairs that are laying, and it looks like as if there's more black than white, but be that as it may, that's what Rabbi Huda holds. And therefore, hence, he says you could do it even when she's a naira. But Rabbi Meir clearly argues over there. He says that no, once you have the two sires and she's a naira, she can't do mean anymore. So we cannot say the whole Bryce is Rabbi Meir and that he holds like Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Meir obviously argues with Rabbi Huda. So rather, the Gemara wants to say that the Tan of the Bryce is actually Rabbi Huda. It's like Rabbi Huda. And therefore, regarding the halacha of Mima Enes, we could say that it was a Mima Enes of a naira. Now, me'enes of a naira, yes, she doesn't get a knas because, again, she's not a basul anymore. But the dig would not be, oh, but a katana, but Alma has a knas, because we're not talking about a katana. It's talking about a naira. Now, regards to the halacha then of idleness, where we learned that there is no knas, why would there be no knas? That's because the b'katana, some of the Reb Meir, because, yes, Reb Meir could not be like Rabbi Huda, but Rabbi Huda could hold like Reb Meir in that other halacha, where that he holds that a katana doesn't get a knas. And therefore, the Alanis who goes straight from Ketanos to Bagris, when she crosses the line of age 20, therefore she's never going to be a Naira, and that's why there's not going to be a Knas, and therefore we could say the whole Bryce is like Rabbi Huda, and that resolves both of them, where the way we wanted to say for Reb Meir, but just he couldn't say like Rabbi Huda, it's Rabbi Huda actually saying like Reb Meir. And therefore, again, that Meme'enis that doesn't have a Knas is a Naira, but there's no dik that a regular Ketana would be. And actually, because he holds that a katana would not, and that's the understanding of idleness, because an idleness is only katana and never gets to be a naira. But the Gemara asks on that interpretation, Umi Savala, is it really true that we proved that Reb Meir could not hold like Rabbi Huda? And is it, but we wanted to say that, but Rabbi Huda holds like Reb Meir regarding his halacha of that it's only for a naira, but is that true? But Vam Rabbi Huda Marav, Rabbi Huda said name of Rav, regarding later on the paragraph of Memo Mabez, where the Mishnah specifies the pinya of Reb Meir, the pinya of the Mishnah, where the halacha of Knas only applies to a naira. That Rabbi Huda said the name of Ram, that Zu de Reb Meir, that this is the opinion of Reb Meir, whereas many others argue on him. Now, Avim Isa, if it's true the way we're saying now, that it's Rabbi Huda would agree to Reb Meir in this halacha, that the halacha of Knas only applies to a naira, not for a katana like the Chacham who argue on Reb Meir, then Zu de Reb Meir of Rabbi Huda Mibayle, Rabbi Huda should have said the name of Rav, and that's Rav Yehuda, that Reb Yehuda, well, that's the Tana, that he also agrees to Reb Meir. And therefore, it shouldn't have said it's only Reb Meir, it's Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. So obviously, Reb Yehuda does not hold a Reb Meir. So again, so who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So rather, the Gemara says that it's a Tana, that high Tana, the Tana of Abraisa, Savala Reb Meir B'chada. He holds a Reb Meir in one area of Halacha, where that a Katana doesn't get a Knas, And that's why the Tana this bride said the islandess does not have a knas, because she goes straight from being a katana to a begeris. But he argues on your mayor in another area of halacha, which is that of mima enes, because this Tana holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the girl could do mean until it's yar b'hashocha, I mean, even when she's a nara. And then when the Tana of the Braisa says that a menis does not have a knas, that says that we were saying, but, and the deek is, but someone that's fit to do mean, but never had the mean, would have a knas. That's again, as we said, that's not tuma ketana, it's actually tuma by a nara, where, as we said, because on that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you could do miyun even when you're a nara, and that's what the case of menis that we were talking about. And again, so it's essentially what the Gemara had attempted to do in the first two interpretations, but it just couldn't be that Remeir is like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is like Remeir, and therefore rather it's a third Tana who he holds like Remeir in one area and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the other area. Another interpretation the Gemara brings, Rafa Amar, he says that we could avoid the whole question altogether, because Maimim Enes, what does the Brisa mean when it says that Maimim Enes does not have a Kenas? It doesn't mean the woman that actually did miyun, it means haru'i lamoin. It means a woman that could still do miyun. In other words, any katana is not going to get a kenas. And therefore we could say that the whole braisa is like remeir, and that is a katana ba'alma does not have a kenas. And that's really what it means when it says mime'enes, a girl that could do miyun. And that's the same thing as the halach of alma saying kenas, because she goes straight from katnos to bagris and doesn't have nairas. Now that the Gemara asks, well, listen to katana. So then why do you say in this ambiguous term of mime'enes, which that means to say that a woman that could do mean, just say simply straight out that a katana doesn't have a knas? Nothing more says kasha, definitely is a difficulty. It's not a refutation, because we could interpret it that that's what it means, but it's definitely difficult. Why would you say mime'enes, which means harui lemayin, when you could just say katana, and that would be straight out in the open? Now the Gemara continues explaining this price. The price is said, as we quoted this just before, that an islandess ain't law like knas like Peter. An islandess, if she was violated or seduced, does not get a monetary compensation for the knas or of the einus or of the Peter. And the reason is, as we explained before, because it goes straight from katnos to bagris. When she's always considered a minor until age 20, then she becomes an adult without this middle stage of being a naira, which is the requirement according to this opinion, like Remeir, that it's only for a naira. Now that the Gemara asks for a minu, but there seems to be a contradiction to this halacha from another brisa. The brisa says, "Hachareshes v'hashaita, a deaf mute woman and a mentally deranged woman v'ha'ailanis, and a woman that's an ailanis, yesh lohen knas, that they do have a knas if they're violated." Now another halacha is that v'yesh lohen tainis besulim, that is, if any one of these three women get married to a man, and after the consummate relationship, the man says that I didn't see by my deaf-mute wife or mentally deranged wife or illness that she doesn't have besulim, she's not a virgin, then he does have the ability to spoil their ksuba and to say that you don't get your ksuba because I had married you on the assumption that you were besula. Now, but the main point that the Gemara is asking of that contradicts the other brisa is, the first brisa said illness does not get a knas. This brisa says an alnis that was violated or seduced gets a knas. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara responds, "V'homai rumi, what type of opposing of a contradiction is this? Ha, Remeir, the brisa that says that an alnis doesn't get a knas, the first brisa was going like Remeir, who he said that a katana doesn't get a knas. Now we just explained before that an alnis goes from being a katana to a begaris. Ha, Rabbanan, the second brisa that says an alnis has a knas is like the Rabbanan, who they said a katana does get a knas, and therefore an alnis who is a katana gets a knas. What's the question? This is a machlokes. Now, the Gemara says that's such a good answer. The question is, do the Ka'arla, my Ka'arla, the one who had brought up this question, the Beis Medrash, what was he thinking? Didn't they know that there's obviously these two opinions and that obviously one brisa is going like Rabbanan, one's going like Remeir? So the Gemara says, yes, of course he knew that. But the reason why he brought in the second brisa was mishum de isle lemirma achrite ilove. He wanted to go ahead, and he wasn't bringing the second brisa to ask on the first brisa. It's because he actually wanted to bring a third brisa that would then be a difficulty on the second brisa, not regards the component of alnis, but rather regarding the halach of a chareshes and a shaita, of a deaf mute woman and the mentally deranged woman, that seemingly is contradictory with a third brisa. As the brisa says, hachareshes v'hashaita, regarding a deaf-mute woman, or mentally deranged woman, or v'habageres, or a begeres, which is a woman that 6 months after she became a nara, approximately age 12 and a half, where there, just by time itself, her besul must start dissipating, because as the older she gets, then the muscles get weakened, and then the besulim start dissipating. Or umukas eitz, which is a woman that had a piece of wood that was lodged ba'isim akim, thus dislodging her besulim. So regarding any one of these four women, the halacha is if the husband, the morning after they consummate the relationship, comes to Bezdin and says, there was no besulim over there. I thought she was a besula. I don't want to give her a ksuba now because it was based on a faulty assumption. The halacha is actually that ein lehen tainas besulim, that they do not have a claim of besulim. In other words, there's no reason why you thought that she was a virgin, that she was a besula. But Geras, obviously, we understand why, because once she reaches that age, there's no reason for her to think that there's besulim anymore, because it just dissipates. And Mukas Eitz, obviously, because if she had some type of an accident, obviously the besulim are not going to be there. And moreover, Charesh Rav HaShaita, as we'll explain, that at least the Gemara, it sounds like, is that a Charesh HaShaita, that they don't have the besulim. And we assume that it's not there. Now, Asuma Va'ailanis, however, regarding if a man marries a blind woman or a woman that is never fully matures, and that she can't have children, then, but Yeshlan Tanis Besulim, there's no reason to think why an Ailanis, so good she can't have children, and she's maybe a Katana up till age 20, but there's no reason to think why she's not a Besula, unless we knew otherwise, and the blind woman, there's no reason to think either that she's not a Besula, and therefore if he consummates the relationship and doesn't find Besulim, then he could have a claim in Bezdin to say, I don't want to pay her kesuba because she's not what I thought she was, which was a besula. Simchas Emir Shem Meir, he argues on one of those last two, and he says, as Suma Ein Latanis Besulim, as the Gemara later on explain why, but he says that regarding a blind woman, that if he finds that she's not a besula, he doesn't have any complaints in Bezdin because he should have known that she's not a besula. There's no reason for him to have thought that, to say that there was some type of a mekachta, some type of a mistake over here. Now, but one thing that the Gemara is asking is that there seems to be a contradiction between these last two brises. And that's why he introduced the second one to say this third brise. The first brise said that a chareshes and a shaita, if someone marries a chareshes or a shaita, then there is tainus besulim, meaning to say that why should you not assume because she's deaf-mute or because she's mentally deranged that she doesn't have besulim? Of course you would think that she would have it. And therefore, if she doesn't, you have a tainin bezin to say that this is a mistake. But the third brisa says that Einlan Tainas Besulim, that there is no Tainas Besulim, and that it is, you don't have a claim to make in Bezin. Now, why not? Is this something that we presume her to be a Besula, and therefore you have Tainas Besulim? Or that we don't presume, and therefore there is no Tainas Besulim? That seems to be contradictory between those last two brises, and that's why he introduced it. So on that, Amar Sheisha says, like Kasha, it's not a difficulty, these two brises, because actually it's a Machlekes. Ha, Rabbi Gamliel. And Vaha, Rabbi Yeshua. And this is referencing back to the first parak where we had on Daf Yud Beis and Mabeis, we had a few different Mishnayos, which was a Machlekes from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where Gamliel said that if a woman that the morning after the husband says, I didn't find Besula, and this was, he had married her, Becheskes, that she's a Besula, and she says, you're right, when we consummated the relationship, I was not a Besula, but it's not that there was a mistake in the Gesuba. When we got engaged, I was a Besula, but it was violated after we were engaged by a different man. So she's believed. Now, because of that, the Gemara says, Gamliel would say the same thing also over here, that as this third brisa says, that ain latinus besulim, that the man who married this Chareshev HaShaita and doesn't find besulim, he doesn't have a claim of besulim. What does that mean? Not because he should have known better that she's not a besula, like we said regarding Begeres Mukas Eitz, but rather because he doesn't have a claim because he could actually not make her lose her gsuba. She actually gets the gsuba. Now the reason is because if she wasn't mentally deranged or deaf-mute, which their mental capacity is limited, if she would have been a bakachas, an intelligent woman, she could have said the claim, as any woman could, of saying Mishar Astani Nanasti. And she would be believed. She'd be able to say that, yes, I'm not a besula, but you should just know it's because I was raped when we were engaged, and she'd be believed. Now, because of that, Rimlil says that, so therefore, even when she's not making the claim, because she can't, she doesn't know better, a choresh and a shaita, therefore he doesn't have a tain of besula. But Vahar Rabbi Yeshua, the first brisa, meaning what we're calling the first, which is really the second of the three brises, is going like Rabbi Yeshua, who he says over there in the first parak, lay me pee on the chayim. We don't live based on what the words of the woman is saying. And that if she's not believed to say, and if he doesn't find her a besula, so then he doesn't have to give her a ksuba. Now, therefore, That's what the second brisa, I mean, the first of these last two, is saying that by a chareshes and a shaita, there is a taina of bisulim. He could make a claim. And that's because even if she would make the claim of saying Mishra Stan in the Nasti, she wouldn't be believed. So therefore, there's nothing more that we would have even done for her, even if she had an intelligent thing to say. All the more so when she's not making such a claim. And that's why there's these machlekes regarding chareshes v'shaita, if this taina is bisulim or not, regarding if not of if we presume if she's a basula or not, there's no reason to think that she's not, but rather if he could make the claim when he doesn't find a basulam. Rabbi Gamliel holds that he cannot, because since we would believe her had she said it, so we believe her even now when she's not saying it, because she just doesn't know any better. But Rabbi Yishua would say we wouldn't believe her, and therefore there would be times basulam, and it could make her lose her ksuba. Now that the Gemara asked, Eimed Shama Leder Gamliel, when did we hear this opinion from Gamliel? That she's believed to say Mishra Yastani in Anasti and that he doesn't have Tainas Besum and she doesn't lose her Ksuba. That's Hecha de Katana Ihi, that's when she makes such a claim. Hecha de la Katana Ihi Mishamedle, did we ever hear from Lil to say that if she didn't make it, that then we would still say that he can't make a Tainas Besum? No, he says there's no Besum. If she comes with a claim and says Mishra Yastani in Anasti, fine, we'll believe her. But why would we say that the Chareshes in the Shaita, there's no Tainas Besum? So I think Mar says, in yes, even if she doesn't say it. And the reason is because Kivan Armingul Mehemna, since Gamliel says that we would believe the woman who had made such a claim, so regarding such a case of a Chareshes and a Shaita, where she can't make the claim because she's not a Pekachas, so regarding that, you apply the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Psach Picha Le'ilemhu. It applies the Pasuk of you should open up the mouth of the mute. In other words, what that means to say is that it's because she doesn't know any better. And therefore, we give her that taina that she would have made had she been intelligent, which was Mishrastani Nanasti. And then he wouldn't have had a taina of Besulim, and he would have to give the Ksuba. And therefore, Gamliel says, even in such a case of a Choresh Vashaita, would be Ein La Tainas Besulim. Whereas, again, the first Braisa of Rabbi Yeshua was that he says, Le Mepir Nechayin, and therefore, even an intelligent one, she would lose her Ksuba. And therefore, here also, Yesh La Tainas Besulim, that she would lose her Ksuba. Now the Gemara explains in that last braisa that we quoted, we said that one of the women that there is no taina of besulim is v'habageres. A bageres ain't la taina of besulim. There's no claim you could have that you marry a 14-year-old and you say that I had assumed that she was a besula. And that the braisa says that no, there's no taina of besulim. What you don't want to give her a ksuba because you thought she was one, and that we said that no, it dissipates on its own once she reaches bagris, and therefore there's no taina of besulim to think that you would have thought that there would be besulim. That the Gemara asks, but how can you say that we don't assume that there's besulim for begeres? But Vamarav Rav said begeres nois no laila harishon. Regarding a begeres, a woman that's over age 12 and a half, we give her the first night after the marriage. Now what that means is, what does it mean to give the whole night? It means that they could have bia many times during the first night. And then what does that mean? It means to say that if there's blood that emanating from the woman that entire night, we could assume that that's dam besulim, it's the hymnal blood. Meaning even though it wasn't just the first time, it was the third time, b'lisa laila, doesn't make a difference. And that's what the halacha of Rav is talking about. And we don't have to think that maybe it's Dam Nida and that she's Aser. We could say it's Dam Besulim. Now, but one thing that we see from the Halacha of Rav is that a Begeres, because that's what he's talking about, she could even be 14, that there is Dam Besulim for a Begeres. And the reason is, because if not, then we wouldn't have to give her the whole night and say that maybe this third Bia on that first night is Dam Besulim, because what do you mean? There is no Besulim for the begeres. We would say, just for the Bilas Mitzvah, for that we would give and say that would be Dam Besulim. Now, since we're saying that there's Dam Besulim, so then the question is, since if he has Bia and he doesn't find blood, she should lose her Ksuba. And the reason is because, what do you mean? When you marry a woman that's a begeres, you do assume that she's a Besulim, that there are Besulim, and it turns out that there's no Besulim, that she's a Be'ula. Why does the Raisa say that a begeres is no time of Besulim? Why? If there is Bia and there's no Dam, so then this is a mistake, because you see from the Halacha of Rav that by Begeres we do assume Besulim. And hence, therefore, you could say that and there's a few elements in the Besulim. There's the actual tissue of the Besulim. Then there's also the blood that's contained therein when it's ruptured. So we're saying that if there's no Dam coming out, so then that's something that you would have thought would be there, because as Rav says, that you can even say in Halacha that we don't think it's Dam Nida, it's Dam Besulim, that even that whole entire night, even many times. So therefore, why do you say Begeres doesn't have a tainus of Besulim if it doesn't find Besulim? So the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, and says that, as we just alluded to this just before, that there's a few different components in Besulim, and hence the tainus of Besulim, and you don't find it. And that is, either katoin tainus damim, if the new husband makes the claim that I had bia, and I looked at the sheets, and there was no dam, that means to say she wasn't a Besula. If she was a Besula, then the hymenal blood would have came out. So then the Gemara says, Hachinami. Yes, that definitely would be a good claim in Bezdin. And therefore then, that would be a tainus Besulim that she would lose her ksuba for, even if she's a Begeres. And that's why Rav said that because there's dam the whole entire night, of course there's dam Besulim even for a Begeres. But Hacha, here where the Brisa said that there's no tainus of Besulim for a Begeres, but Maya Skinner, what is that talking about? The Katoin tainus Pesach Besuach, where he makes the claim that there was an open opening, meaning he says what's called Pesach Pesuch Mitzasi. I didn't have anything that was blocking me, that it was open. Now, regarding the blood, he says, I didn't check that. I didn't notice if there was blood or not on the sheets. Now, regarding a Naira or a Katana, when you make a tain of Pesach Pesuch, it was open, that the tissue, the muscle wasn't blocking over there. So that's actually a good claim, as the Gemara says in the first parak. And even though he can't verify that, because the dam you can verify, let's see the sheets, let's see if there is dam or not. Now, although you can't verify regarding the Besulim itself, because we don't know what happened when he had penetration, but we say that there's a chazaka, a presumption that a person would not make a whole chas and a whole wedding, and then just lose it out and say he doesn't want to stay married because there's a mekach tois. He wouldn't do that. And if we would believe him if he said Pesach Besulim Mitzasi. But what the Braisa was saying is that if when she became a Begeres, then the womb, the area over there is not so narrow as it was when she was younger. Now, therefore, it seems to him as if it's Pesach Besuch because there was more room than what he had assumed it to be. That is what the Braisa is saying. If your Taina Besulim is regarding the tissue of saying Pesach Besuach, that's not a claim when she becomes a Begeres, because there's no reason to assume that it's tight and narrow as it is by a katana. And therefore, that's what the Braisa was saying. But of course, like Rav saying, if he had a claim of the dam, that there was no dam, that he had checked for it, then of course he would have a taina of Besulim, because again, depending what type of Besulim it is, that the taina is, if there would be a Besulim or not, for dam there is, but for Pesach Besuach, there is no taina of Besulim for a Begeres. Now, continuing on the Braisa is quoted as Sumcha Seim name of Remeir, arguing on the first opinion regarding Suma Ein L'Tainus Besulim. Sumcha said that if a man marries a blind woman, then if he comes the day after and he says, oh, there's no Besulim, so we don't look at him, because what made you think that there was Besulim to now claim that this was a mistake? Now, the Gemara says, my time of the Sumchas. What's the reason of Sumchas? Why does he argue on the Tana Kama? Why should a blind woman not have Besulim? Why should you assume if she's a regular single girl to think that she doesn't have Besulim, to say that, oh, you don't have a claim of Besulim? So that Amar Bezeri says, Mimnesha nechvetes al gabe karka, because she can't see where she's walking. She falls on the ground, and that itself uproots. It pulls out the Besulim, and that's why you shouldn't think that she has Besulim. Now, that the Gemara asks, Kulanami chavuti mechveti. What do you mean? All girls fall down. And if that would be the reason, so then every girl shouldn't have taina Besulim, because she bangs herself and that caused the Besulim to be ruptured. And that the Gemara answers, no. Kulu, all girls, if their Besulim actually do come out, let's say there was a trauma that caused an accident and the Besulim come out, so royois, they see that there's blood coming out. Now, Umar Slim, they go quickly running to the mother, say that I'm bleeding, and they show it to the mother. So then the mother then goes ahead and let it be known for the groom-to-be that she's not a Besul anymore. And if she actually doesn't notify him, so that's actually misleading him, and then he could have taina Besul. But zu eina raya veina marliima, but a blind woman, she doesn't see that there's blood coming out. It's not something that's significant that you would know it. You would only see it, and she doesn't see it, so therefore she doesn't show it to her mother. And therefore when this man marries this blind woman, who we presume that she banged her, that she had knocked into things, therefore, this that no one made an announcement that she's not a Besula is not a toyus, because no one should know about it to say that he was misled, and you should know that she probably banged, and that, but there's no way for her to have known that. And that's why Sumcha said that a Suma in law tainus Besula. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Braisa that started this discussion of this daf, which is from the previous daf. The Braisa there was saying about different women that don't get the kenas of Oynis or of Mefata. So the final one was Vahayetis Mishum Shemra, a woman that is removed because of a bad name, meaning she had done something immoral. So she doesn't get if a man then violates her in bia or seduces her, she doesn't get the knas. And the reason is because she's obviously not a besula, because obviously she had done something inappropriate which had her removed from her husband. Now, so on that the Gemara asks, Hayetze Mishum Shemra. So you're saying the case of a woman that was removed because of something bad that she had done, so she got a bad reputation that she even had to leave her husband. But Baskilihi, a woman that has an immoral relationship while she's married or engaged, she gets stoned. Forget about the fact that a later person that would violate her wouldn't pay the knas. What are you saying? She's a woman that gets stoned. So Rav Sheshe says, this is what the Braisa is talking about. It doesn't mean what classically is called the Meitzi Shemra, which that's usually used for someone that gives such a name for his wife who actually wasn't Mezana then when she was engaged. She just lied about it. But in this context, we were saying it meant a woman that was actually removed because of that bad name, because she actually had a relationship with another man when she was engaged to her first husband. And that thing we're saying, no, that's not what we're talking about, because that's a baskila. What the Braisa was saying was, Misha Yatza Alea Shemra Bialdusa. We're talking about a woman just that has a bad reputation when she was younger, that there's rumors about her that she had done inappropriate things. So ain't lo like knas le pita. That's what the Braisa is saying, that if a man then violates or seduces her, he doesn't give her the knas or the pita, because we don't have to assume that she was a basula, because there was rumors about her that she really wasn't a basula anyway. Now on that, Amar Rav Papa says regarding this halacha of the Braisa, Shmamina, we can infer a similar halacha, and that is regarding a totally different context. Hai shtara reya, regarding a document that there's rumors about it, that it was a forgery. So le magvina be, so you can't collect with it. And that's because seemingly it's the same thing as this woman who, there was rumors about her that she's not a basula anymore, so if someone violates her, he doesn't have to give her the knas. So to reveal the document that there was rumors about it, that was forged, so you can't collect with it. Now that the Gemara asks, hey chedami, what exactly are these two cases that were creating this corollary? Elam edinafik kala allow, if we're talking about that there was rumors about it, the shtara dezaifahu, that this was a forged document. No, the kavasah hacha. So that would mean in the corollary to the case of the woman, who was later subsequently violated, did not for Gullah call it desna'i, that there was rumors about her that she was mezana, which that's the same thing of the forgery in the document to znus in a woman, to saying that they're both inappropriate documents or a woman that to be a besula to get the knaz. But Rava says that that's not correct. He says, Yatza la shem mezana be'ir. If let's say a woman gets a name in the city that she was mezana, ain't chayshin la. We're not concerned for the rumors, even for her to marry kahuna, she can marry, although a zayin is forbidden to marry kain. This that there's word about her and rumors about her, we're not concerned that she can marry kain. So how could this be the corollary of the two cases of the forged document, meaning that there was rumors about it that was forged, which would be the same of a woman that, for the case of that hayotzi mishem shemra, that it means to say that there was word about her that she was mezana, but what Rava clearly says, that that would not disqualify a woman from being a basula, even to marry Kain, for sure to get the knas of ma'anis. So rather, we have to say that the case of that the Braisa is talking about Yotza Leo Shemra, is talking about that there were witnesses, not just rumors. Meaning, for example, the Asu Beitre, that two witnesses come and they don't say they don't testify that she had znus, because then the whole discussion wouldn't start. Obviously, she wouldn't get a knas. If she was mezana, anytime she had bia, she's not a besula anymore. Rather, what they say, va'amri, they say, l'didhu tevasinu b'isura, she proposed to have znus with us, and she made herself hefker. Now, we didn't listen to her, but obviously that this woman, there's no reason to think she's a besula anymore, because she was proposing for us to have znus. Now, the kavasah hacha, that would be the equivalent over here regarding the document, the also betray va'amri, that two people come and say, l'didhu amalahu zayfuli, this person who's holding the document, he came to us and said, please forge for me a document. I need you to sign falsely as witnesses on this document. Well, that's the corollary where you wouldn't be able to collect with such a document. That would be the case, again, of Hoytzei Lav Shemra, where two witnesses say that she proposed, and we don't know for sure, but definitely there's reason to assume she's not a Besul anymore. So to over here, there's reason to assume that this is a forged document, because this same guy proposed to us to forge a document. Now that the Gemara asks, how could Rav Papa have learned from this case of Hoytzei Lav Shemra that you cannot collect with such a document, but they're not the same? Because Bishlema Hassam, over there by the case of Hoytzei Lav Shemra, which the Brisa says, yes, she doesn't get a knas, there's reason to believe that she's not a Besul anymore. That's because Shchichi Prutzen, this woman, since there's witnesses that she was proposing to other people to be Mezana with them, now, there's many Prutzen, there's many immoral people out there, she'll find some man that wants to be Mezana with her. Now, therefore, if a man later violates her, is Ma'anasa or Mafata her, there's reason to say that, of course, she's not going to get a knas because she's not in a cheskes, she's not in a presumptive state of being basula anymore. And you want to remove money from someone else? There's no reason to think that you're basula. You were out proposing people to be mazan with them. But elahacha, but over here regarding a document, imhu huchzik, if this guy who's trying to claim money from someone else, if he's already presumed to try to get false witnesses to try to collect falsely from someone else, and that we know from those two witnesses who said that he proposed to them to sign falsely, but Kol Yisrael mihuchziku, are all the Jewish people already lost their chazakah? Are they presumed to have listened to him, to have forged falsely on a document? In other words, to be mezana, yes, you'll find prutzim. But to say that if we have witnesses signed on the document, why should we assume that that's falsely? Why, if he has two witnesses, which we always say is commission nechker, adusim, and bezdin, why should we say he can't collect with that? That's very different than Znus, which yes, she'll find people to, and therefore we'll say that she's probably not a Basula. We're going to say about the document, although he definitely, there's reason to say he's something up with him of a scheming and a plotter, but if there's two witnesses, why should we really say that they're not kosher? So that the Gemara says, Hachinami, you're right. Here also, the logic is, Kivin de Mahadra Ziyufa, since he was trying to find witnesses to forge the document to sign falsely, you're right. We're not going to assume the whole entire Jewish people, and we wouldn't make a reisa on witnesses. But we say that he probably taught himself how to sign signatures that are similar to other witnesses' signature, and he forged the whole thing. Not only did he forge the document, he forged the signature of the witnesses, and that's why we'll say, and that's what Rapapa was saying, it's the same as the case of Hoytzei Lav Shemra, when you have witnesses that can say that something was already a foul already before. So just like over there, we say that she's not Becheskes Besula. Here also we say that this is a shtar that's not Becheskes Kashas and you cannot collect with it, not because we assume that there were people that were collaborating, like in the case of the woman that will be mezana with her. Here we don't say that witnesses collaborated. We say that actually he forged the signature of the witnesses. Now the Gemara continues with the second Mishnah of this parak, continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah, which the parak opened up with, these are the Nairis, as the Gemara explained, even though they're psulis that have a knas. Now our Mishnah explains regarding certain Nairis that do not get a knas. So on that, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu she'en lehen knas. These are the women that when they're violated or seduced, that they do not get a knas. They are habal alagiris, which is, this is similar to the Reisha, but with one point different, and that's why it makes all the difference. Which is if someone has bia, he violates a woman that converted, or vala shvuya, or a woman that was already once taken in and was captured by other people, and vala shivcha, and on a maidservant, sheniftu v'shenizgayru v'shenishtachru, that they were redeemed, which is in reference to the shvuya, and she was converted, which is regarding to the Geyeris, and Shenishtachru, where she was freed in reference to the maidservant, Yeseris al-Benois Shalash Shanabiyamechad. If they only came into the status of the Jewish people after age 3, meaning to say that she was either imprisoned or she was, meaning that she was captured or that she was a maidservant or that she was non-Jewish, over age 3, that only after that was she redeemed or was she freed or was she then converted, then we say that since over age of 3, she's fit to have bia, meaning then the besulim don't come back. And at that point, whether when she was a shvuya or a shifrogi or a non-Jewish, she was a bechin of hafker, where the non-Jews go ahead and have bia with the woman that they want to, or the shvuya, as we said, when she's as a captive, they'll do things to her that they want to, and therefore we presume that there's no besulim anymore, because at that point she was in the possession of the non-Jews who probably had be with her, and therefore since there's no besulim, the whole halacha of knas of ainus only applies to a besulim. However, Behudaim, he argues on one of them. He says a shvuya shem niftis regarding a captive woman that was redeemed. Harehi b'kedushasa, she maintains her sanctity. We presume that she is a basula, afa pisha gedayla, even if she's an adult. And we don't say that she lost her cheskas basulim, hence she would get a knas. Meaning if she's violated, she would collect the knas from the mianas. Now continuing on the second half of the Mishnah, which is also related to the first Mishnah, which spoke about chiv krisis getting a knas, here the Mishnah speaks about certain higher level isurim that do not get a knas. Habal bita, if a man violates his daughter, or al bas bita, or his daughter's daughter, or al bas benoi, or his son's daughter, or al bas ishtoi, or his wife's daughter, or al bas beno, or on his wife's son's daughter, or al bas bita, or his wife's daughter's daughter. On all these women, ein lehen knas, if he violates them, they do not get a, collect the penalty from him. And the reason is, b'mnei mischayv benafshi, because by having be with them, he's actually chayiv misa in Bezdin, in the courts. Shemisasim bidei Bezdin, because his death is in the hands of the courts. Now, b'chola mischayv benafshi, anyone that becomes liable for his life, meaning that he's going to get killed for this, ein mishal momen, he doesn't pay money. That's what's called kimle b'drabmanei, which, according to this opinion, is only by chiv misa Bezdin and not by chiv krisis. So therefore, the first Mishnah, which was Tumat HaChaisa and all the chiv krisis, that there you don't say Kim L'Rabbanei would get the knas. Here, where it's chiv misa Bezdin, then there would be no knas. Because if you're getting killed in Bezdin, you don't pay a monetary penalty. Shneim, like it says the Pasuk in Shmois, says regarding when two men were fighting and one guy then injures a pregnant woman. So the Pasuk says, Vim lo yia asin, it doesn't say vim, but it says that vim lo yia asin, it says that if there's not going to be any fatality, then anish yanish, then the one who injured the fetus, creating a miscarriage, will have to pay for the dmei vlodos. Now the inference is, but if there is a fatality, which means to say that if the one who killed the woman, he himself gets killed in court for having murdered the woman, then there's no anish yanish. Because it's only im lo yia asin. But if there is a fatality, if he does get killed, there is mises bezdin, then we see kim l'drabanei that he's not onish onish and he doesn't pay for the monetary. And therefore here, if he's ma'anas bita or one of these other cases, he's mischayv benashay, so therefore there's no knas. Now the Gemara comments on Rabbi Yechanan. He says, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Deisa amr davar achad. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah and Rabbi Deisa say the same thing, that a shvuya, a woman that was taken in captivity, is presumed to be tahira, that she was not nivela by one of the non-Jewish captors. Now, Rabbi Huda hadamar. Rabbi Huda is like he says in our Mishnah that a shvuy, even if she's an adult, if she's violated by a man subsequently, will get the knas. We presume she is a besula. And Rabbi Deisa is the time. Rabbi Deisa is like we learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, shvuya, a bas kayin, meaning a girl from a family of kahanim, that was taken in captivity, could continue to be aichelas b'truma. She could continue eating truma. And that what that means, obviously, is that we do not presume that she had a bia with one of the men that are pasul to her. By him having bia with her, a pasul, which would be one of the captors, which the non-Jewish captors would actually make her pasul, we do not assume that. And then she could continue eating truma. That's Divrei Reb Deisa. Amar Reb Deisa, Reb Deisa explains. He says, "V'chi ma'asa la'arvi halaz." What do you think this foreign Arab did to this Jewish woman who is a bas kohen? Now, Taisa explains the reason why I picked an Arab is because they're steeped in immorality, as the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Mem Tesma Beis, that there were 10 portions of immorality that came down to the world, and 9 of them were taken by the Arabs. So what Rabbi Taisa is saying is, so what do you think he really did to her? V'chi m'mnei shemeich lo bein da'deho, you think because he rubbed her between her breasts, pasam in a kahuna, so he has invalidated her from kahuna? Now what that means is, in other words, is that they don't treat her so disrespectfully to forcibly violate her to have bia. Rather, they play around with her. So yes, so that he has done definitely inappropriate things, but we don't assume that he violated her, and therefore he says this woman, although she was in captivity, could continue eating truma even after that she's redeemed. And therefore, Reb Deisa and Rabbi Huda essentially saying the same thing, that a woman in captivity is not assumed to have been violated by the captors. And we presume that she's still a basula. Now, however, Amar Rabba says, not like Rabbi Yechanan. Says Dimalahi, maybe it's not true. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Daisa are not saying the same thing, and they actually would argue on each other's halachas. Because Ad Kan Lekam Rabbi Yehuda Hacha, maybe in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Shvuya woman that was once in captivity will still get a knas if a man later violates her. Maybe that's Ella Shalo Yehei Chayte Nisker. Maybe it's because we don't want a sinner to gain. What? This man who raped this woman, he should get away with it because we're not sure what happened to this woman in captivity? No, we don't want a sinner to gain. And that's why we'll say that, okay, the woman will get a knas. We want this guy to pay for what he had done to this woman. But maybe over there where there is no element of lo yehei chayte nisker, maybe actually Yehuda would hold like drabanan that the woman that was, that the bas kohen that was in captivity cannot continue eating truma. Because yes, we definitely have a clear doubt. Maybe she's not a basul anymore. Now, it's only regarding here that we don't want to send it again, that we make him pay. But who said he would agree over there? Inami, or also, you could say the other way around. Ad kan lakam Reb Deisa Hasam, maybe only over there Reb Deisa said that she could continue eating truma because ele b'truma d'rabbanan, maybe that's togma by truma that's rabbinic, because even if she was nivala by the captors, it's only going to be a rabbinic issa because they're talking about rabbinic truma. Now, regarding a rabbinic halacha, they weren't geyser regarding a case of doubt where we're not sure if she was violated or not. Ava kanas d'iraisa, but regarding collecting from the violator to this woman, which is a biblical halacha, because you want to remove money from someone else, that's biblical halacha, because you can't remove money out of doubt, and we have a true doubt over here, we're not sure if she was nivel or not, maybe actually Rabbi Deisa would be krabbanan svirle, maybe he would hold like drabbanan, that actually not like Rabbi Yehuda, and that he would say that a shvuya would not get a knas. It's only over there by truma, which is rabbinic. Here, which is the rice, the halacha, dini mamanis, is a biblical halacha to remove money from someone else, and it's a safik. You can't be mighty mamming me safik. So that, therefore, Rabba argues in Rabbi Yechon and says, who said that they're saying the same thing? Now, and that Omle Abaya asks on this that Rabba just said, he says, what, you're proposing now like Rabbi Yechon because of a time to be hu de hacha, shleihe chayte niskarhu? Is that really true that you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda only says that she gets the knas because we don't want the sinner to gain, but it's not that we really presume her to be a besula, and therefore you would say that, let's say, if she's a bas kohen, she would not be able to continue eating truma? But the Tanya Lina Brice that says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Shavuya Shenishbis, a woman that was taken in captivity, Harehi B'Kedusha Asa, she maintains her Kedusha, sanctity. What that means is, Afila Bas Esa, Shana Kesubas Masayim. He says clearly that even if she's a 10-year-old, her kesuba will be 200, which is 200 zuz, which is the kesuba of a besula. Now, v'hasa ma'ishalay hechayte nisker eko. What over there? If you don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan proposed, Rabbi Yehuda always considers the shvuya as b'kedushasa, and that is that she's a besula. It's only because we don't want the sinner to gain who then later violated her. But why then would he say that a woman that was once in captivity that should have a ksuba that's 200 zuz, which is only for a besula, he should say that no, she should get the ksuba of a ba'ula, which is only 100. So that the Gemara answer is that's not difficult according to Rabbah. Because actually, hasam nami, there also, if you would say that this girl that was in captivity, that her ksuba would be diminished, that would only get 100, so then essentially what you would be doing is you would be considering her in a presumptive state of a ba'ula. Now, Dilma Mimni B'loi Nasvila, and therefore maybe people are going to hold back and not marry her. Even the Jewish people are not going to want to marry her because this woman was obviously violated by when she was taken in captivity. Because you see, the rabbis are not giving her a ksuba of 200 zuz. Now, so therefore, what Rabbi is answering is that yes, Rabbi Yehuda does not say for sure she's always a becheskes besula, and therefore maybe by truma he would say that she cannot eat the truma. It's when there's when we find a takana, some way of instituting or a purposeful of saying that she should be considered as a besula, like shleichet and isker, then we do. But the same thing would apply here also. There's a reason to make a takana that we consider her besula and that her ksuba should be 200. Because if we didn't, then people would assume that she is a beula, and then people wouldn't want to marry her. And therefore, there we'll say that she's a besula, but not everywhere. Let's say to continue eating truma. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking, and Tesa explains that actually the Gemara's questions now are only going according to Rabbi Yochanan and so forth, all the questions. But actually according to Rabbah, that he does not hold in Rabbi Yehuda that a woman that was in captivity is b'kedushasa. He only says it's like, for example, shlei chayte nisker, or where we don't want a woman, not for people to not want to marry her. But in general, Rabbi Yehuda does not necessarily b'kedushasa kaim, and the Gemara's questions do not apply. It's only going according to Rabbi Yechon, who he said in the beginning of the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same thing, that b'kedushasa kaim, we presume in all situations, for all halachas, that a woman was not violated when she was a shvui, when she's in captivity, and we presume that she's a besula. And that the Gemara asks, Besava Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushasa kaim, is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda considers a shvuya that she's in her sanctity? Bavatanu in the braisa that says as follows, Hapoide es hashvuya yise'ena. If someone redeems a captive woman, he can marry her. But the braisa continues, if meyid ba, if he testifies regarding her. Now the Gemara originally assumes that it's on the first part of the braisa, meaning regarding the one who redeems her. If he testifies regarding her, that he knows that she was not nivala, she was not violated by these non-Jewish captors while she was a captive woman, then lo yise'ena. Then he could not marry her. Meaning if he's a kayin, he cannot marry her because he cannot marry a woman that was mezana. And the Gemara will ask on that, why should it be any worse if the one who redeems her could marry her, but if he testifies, then he cannot. But Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, "Benkach u'benkach lo yise'ena." No, either one, whether he's the one that redeemed her or he testified, he cannot marry her. Now, first the Gemara asked the question that we just alluded to, "Hagufa kasha." What do you mean? It's hard to understand what the Braisa is saying of the Tanakama, because Amit, you said, "Apoides hashvu yise'ena." Someone that redeems a captive woman can marry her. But hadu tan, and then the Braisa says, made ba lo yise'ena, and if he testifies, more than just redeeming her, if he testifies regarding her that I know that she wasn't violated, then he can't marry her. What? Mishum de meid ba lo yise'ena? Because he testifies and now he can't marry her? But you just said that the one who redeems a captive woman could marry her. So now that he additionally testifies, that makes it worse? So now the Gemara says, holy kash, you're right. Hachikam, this is what the Braisa was saying. Hapoides hashvuya u'meid ba yise'ena. If someone redeems a captive woman and he testifies regarding her that she was never violated, he can marry her. And the reason is because had he not been confident and knowing for sure that she was not violated, he wouldn't have wasted money for nothing by redeeming her, and his whole purpose of redeeming her was to marry her. Therefore, in such a case, he can marry her. In other words, obviously we're talking about a kayin, because Yisrael can marry her even if she was violated. Now, what the Braisa then was continuing was saying was, Meid ba kedi, but if he only testifies, he's not the one that redeemed her, someone else redeemed her, and he testifies, I know she was never violated, then lo yise'ena. Then he's not allowed to marry her, and that's because maybe he just wants her. And although he's a kohen, he's forbidden to her, maybe she really was violent and doesn't know. And this that he's saying it is because he just wants to marry her, so then he's not believed. And that's because of Shvuya, there's definitely reason to believe that she did have beer with them. And therefore, for a kohen, it's going to be problematic. If he redeems her, he's putting in all the monetary investment, then it must be that he really knows, and therefore then he's believed, and then he could go ahead and marry her. So that's the understanding of the Tanakhama. But the Gemara concludes the question. But we have a difficulty according to Rabbi Yehuda. You just said, Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yehuda holds b'kedushasa kaim. We always assume a woman that was captive, that nothing happened to her. But here Rabbi Yehuda says that in either situation, whenever you take a captive woman, the kohen cannot marry her because what? We assume that she did have beer with the non-Jews. So that contradicts what Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So then in Rav Papa, Papa says, Ema, the way you should read the Braisa is actually Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benkach HaBenkach Yisa'ena. You're right, you should amend the Braisa. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that in either situation, you actually could marry her, whether you're the one that redeemed her, or if you didn't redeem her, you just testified regarding her. It doesn't make a difference, because we presume actually that she was not Nivala, so a kohen could marry her in both situations. Another approach the Gemara says, Rabbi Huna Brid Yeshua Omer, he says, L'olam Kedigatani. Truth is, you don't have to amend the Braisa. It could be, as we learned it, that Rabbi Yehuda said, Benkach HaBenkach Lo Yisa'ena. Now, the reason why it doesn't contradict is because actually, Rabbi Yehuda le devrim d'rabbanan kamlo. Rabbi Yehuda is not stating his own opinion. He's going according to the opinion of the rabbanan who argue on him. In other words, he was saying, Lididi, you're right, according to me, benkach benkach yisena. In either situation, you can marry her because I don't assume at all that she was violated. El lididchu, but Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, according to you, well, then benkach benkach lo yisena mibayle, then you should really hold, and that's the words that he was saying, that either way that the kohen cannot marry her. And the reason is because
Once you suspect this woman in her state of captivity, as it says in our Mishnah, that she was Nivala and that she's not a Basula anymore, so why in the case of when he redeems her, could he marry her? Why? Even in either situation, just like when he's made Ola, he cannot marry her because there's suspicion, there's reason to believe she was Nivala. So why by the case of when he redeems her, could the Kohen marry her when he's forbidden the woman that was Mazana with a non-Jew? That the Gemara says, and therefore that obviously is a second interpretation to resolve the contradiction, because that's not Rabbi Yehuda himself talking. It's talking for the opinion of the Rabbanan. That the Gemara says, but Rabbanan, they would tell you that no, they are different. As we had alluded to this before, someone that redeems the captive woman, and then he testifies, I know she was never violated, so although I'm a Kohen, I can marry her, then he could marry her. That's because a man's not going to throw away money for nothing. If he invested all this money to ransom this woman, and the whole purpose was to marry her, and he's a Kohen, if it's going to end up coming out the truth that she's not allowed for him, he's going to lose out all that investment. He obviously knows what he's talking about, therefore we believe him, and therefore he can marry her. Made but kadi, but if the only thing is he didn't invest all that money, he just testifies, oh, I know nothing ever happened to her, then lo yisena, then he cannot marry her. And the reason is because shema einam nasimba, maybe he just saw her and he likes her, and therefore he wants to marry her, so therefore he's saying, oh, I know nothing happened to her. That we say, as we say in our Mishnah, that no, there's definitely not a presumption that you're Bezula. And if you're a Shvuya, there's reason to believe that they were Ma'anis Har. And therefore, she's not a Bezula anymore. And therefore, yes, that's why if he just says testimony, he can't marry her. But there is a difference regarding the case of Apoydis Shvuya, where he obviously verified and got down to every last detail, knowing for sure that she's a Bezula. And therefore, in such a case, it is true that a Kohen could marry such a woman.